Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Man, a tough day for the Americans at the U.S. Open. Ben Shelton had to retire. They were getting ready to go into a decisive fifth set, but he had a shoulder injury, so he's out of the U.S. Open. And then Francis Tiafoe, the 17th overall seed, goes down in straight sets. So two of the better American players at the U.S. Open, Tiafoe, Ben Shelton, going down. As I was doing the show on, was it this Monday? I think it was this Monday. When I was doing it with Femi Jared, we were talking to Drew Dinsick, the whale capper, who's a big tennis handicapper. And we said, all right, Drew, you know, anybody outside of Alcaraz and Sinner? And he said, yeah, you guys can start watching the U.S. Open on September 7th on Sunday when it's the men's final between Alcaraz and Sinner. I said, okay, very good. And looks like, again, with all these guys going down, Taylor Fritz is the number four seed, probably the best chance the Americans have left. Novak Djokovic, the seven seed. He's going to play Cameron Norrie coming up in the night session tonight there at the U.S. Open. Jared, as a guy who grew up in New York, have you ever been to the U.S.
Open? Yeah, I have. I've covered it, too. Fun story. So when I worked in local news in New York, I covered Westchester sports. I covered Jersey, Long Island, Westchester. And in 2015, the national champion on the ladies' side in collegiate tennis, Jamie Loeb, was a Ossining alum. That's a school, a high school in Westchester. And because of that, they gave her the wild card berth to the U.S. Open. And so she got a chance to, I forget who she faced. It was like a top seeded player in that opening round match. But they allowed, you know, some pretty good access for the local media in New York City to cover Jamie, because, you know, how often does a local kid play in the U.S. Open? It doesn't happen too often, especially in New York City. You don't get the prep sports strength as you would maybe in some of the, especially in warmer weather climates for tennis. And I remember it was such a cool, it was center court, it was awesome. I was courtside. What a cool experience. Hot as hell, especially on that hard court. But it was a really cool experience. That was the one time that I was able to watch it center court, and then I was able to cover her a couple years later on some of the outer courts. But it's a great experience. The Village, it's expensive, but it's a really cool experience. You have to kind of travel to get there in Queens, but it's really cool. Really cool vibes if you're ever able to make it out there.
It's my favorite subway stop in the world, and anybody who's who's been to that stop knows what I'm talking about. You got City Field on the left where the Mets play, and then you get the U.S. Open complex on the right. So it's pretty cool. I love when they show the videos when the Mets are in town, and they have people there. They have workers at the stop going, tennis on the right, baseball on the left. I mean, how cool is that? Like, as a sports fan, you can do the double one day, go to tennis in the afternoon, go to a Mets game at night. So that's what's going on right now at the U.S. Open. As again, Alcaraz, Sinner still alive, heavy favorites for one of them to win the U.S. Open. And then on the women's side, Iga's still alive. She's your favorite, plus 210. Sabalenka, plus 300. Rybakina, plus 600. Andreeva, plus 700. And then Coco Gauff, who escaped a couple days ago, one of her matches, she is plus 900. She won the U.S. Open last year. So we'll see who can pull it out at the U.S. Open, as Tiafoe and Ben Shelton both knocked out today. Jared, you were talking about the Chiefs as we were getting ready to go to break last segment. And like you said, I mean, they're only like minus 118, minus 120 to win the division. And they're going to be without their wide receiver, Rashee Rice, for the first six games. He's going to miss the Charger game week one out in Brazil, home against Philly week two, at the Giants week three, home against the Ravens week four, at the Jags week five, and then home against the Lions in week six. So, I mean, they're playing some good teams, right? Three of those six teams, definitely amongst the top teams to win the Super Bowl. Road game at Jacksonville, and you got to play a divisional game at a neutral site, and then at the Giants on Sunday Night Football against that pass rush, maybe a closer game than some would expect. But what are your thoughts on the Rashee Rice suspension? Like, when you first heard that news from a gambling perspective, where immediately did you go? Were you going towards more rushing attempts for Pacheco, more targets for Kelsey? What do you think are the betting ramifications from his suspension?
Great question, because these are the types of things that you can have an edge on in the market if you kind of can predict where the market was before the news broke. With this situation, it kind of felt like the market was maybe not expecting 10, but 6 felt light. Like, I think six is on the good side of it. Like, I think that when my initial reaction was, oh, he's only suspended for six games. This is a positive long term for the Chiefs because we thought maybe it was going to be longer. And I think 10 was a number that I heard floated out. But I guess, you know, his lawyers did a really good job negotiating. I think the Chiefs offense will be significantly more explosive this year. How about this? They were dead last in explosive play rate last year. Let me repeat that. For those who weren't listening, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs had the worst explosive play rate in the NFL last year. I'm sorry. That is definitely going to improve in 2025. I mean, maybe they're not a top 10 explosive team, but they're certainly not dead last. So I think right there, you see a significant boost with what they're able to accomplish. And if you want my opinion on where the NFL is going, it's been going this way for a long time, and then the defense is adjusted. And then the offense is adjusted back by more running game, right? We saw the Mahomes explosion with Tyreek Hill. Then teams started playing too deep. And then you saw the Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry run the ball into the light box. And now teams are creeping up to the line of scrimmage. And now the explosive play rate, I think, is going to become a more predictive factor on how offenses do in the NFL going forward because you get more of a balance between run and pass. Mahomes really faced a lot of pressure last year. The offensive line was a freaking disaster. It's better this year. They stole Josh Simmons at the end of the first round. He looks healthy. That is a steal. He's a top 10 player. He fell because of the injury. The Chiefs didn't think he was that hurt. They seem to be right, at least early stages of camp. I think you look at the explosive rate and the pressure rate. If both of those things improve, Mahomes' numbers are going to be a lot better this year. And I think that is where I'm very bullish on not only the Chiefs as a team, but also Mahomes to win the MVP.
I like Mahomes to win the MVP, too. That's been my play. I think this is the best receiving core he has had in a while. Maybe ever, right? I mean, Tyreek Hill was an all-pro at his peak, but just the caliber of receivers. Like, outside of Hill, yeah, you had Kelce in his prime, and those two were awesome. But, again, when Rice comes back, you're going to have him. You'll have a full year of Hollywood. Year two is Xavier Worthy. So, I think those three right there. And then even though Kelce wasn't the player that he once was, I think he's going to have a bounce back year. And now that he's gotten engaged to Taylor Swift, Jared, and he sees the end of the line, I think this is his last season, and he put in a lot of work. He lost a lot of weight. So I definitely think he wants to go out strong, and he wants to go out with a good season. The Chiefs are still going to probably have the same game plan with Kelce that they've had the last few years. Definitely, they won't use him as much as they did 5-6 years ago, but I think he'll be more productive. He'll help out Mahomes a little bit more, and they're definitely going to need him without Rice. And keep in mind, too, with the Chiefs, I mean, they played just about all of last year without Rashee Rice. So maybe where this would be a concern for another team when you're down your number one wide receiver, I mean, the Chiefs are very much used to playing without Rashee Rice. And now that they have a full year of Hollywood, Kelce should be better. Worthy should be better. You mentioned the upgrade to the offensive line. And the Chiefs, I think, are motivated after how that Super Bowl went.
Oh, yeah.
I think their offense is going to be much better than what it was, what it's been the last 2 years in the regular season. And also, Jared, like, those guys know how people are kind of viewing them, how they're viewing their division, how they think that Denver or the Chargers can knock them off this year. Like, this is the thing, man. I think the years to maybe get the Chiefs are when complacency sets in, when everybody's telling them how great they are. It's almost kind of boring how much they're winning. But now it kind of feels like people are doubting them. The Ravens and the Bills are better odds to win the AFC, and people are thinking that, again, those teams in the division may be closer to them than maybe we think they are. So any motivation for a team like that that wins as much as they do, any chip on their shoulder that they can have, I think works to their benefit.
People are going to be so pissed when they go back to the Super Bowl, PJ. It's going to be great. I can't freaking wait. And Nick, who, you know, congratulations on the extension, Nick. And I've appreciated, you know, you allowing me to fill in for you this summer when you've taken those Fridays off. You certainly deserved it because you work your ass off. But he has coined this phrase, Chiefs derangement syndrome. I mean, you want to talk about how upset people are going to be when they go back to the Super Bowl this year. And it's not because of the refs. It's they're blowing teams out and they're dominating teams. And Mahomes looks like God again. And there isn't that ref narrative. Oh, they're only winning close games. They can't do it without the refs. Like, ridiculous argument to fall back on. And then, oh, by the way, they're going to be shoving Taylor and Travis in our faces for the entire season. And who knows? I've heard some rumors. I don't have anything confirmed. I'm not a music guy. But maybe she's the performing act at halftime of the Super Bowl in Santa Clara. I did hear some Easter eggs during her interview with Travis and with Jason Kelce that maybe there's a little bit of a hint that maybe she'll be. We've talked about it for years. Like, when is Taylor Swift, the most, you know, notable artist on the planet, gonna perform at the Super Bowl halftime show? Maybe this is the year, the last year of Travis Kelce's career, perhaps. And obviously she has no control over whether or not the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, even though people think that she does, which is hilarious. But it's gonna be great. People are gonna whine and complain, oh no, not Travis and not Taylor and Patrick, and they're gonna be right back in the Super Bowl where they belong, because I think they're the best team in the AFC.
So did you bet them to win the Super Bowl, or did you just predict that they're going to end up going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl?
You're going to love this, but I get so you know you get those sweat-free bets on BetMGM where if you make a bet and you lose, you get a token, you know, a free bet. I've racked up a few of those over the months and years. But one of the bets that I made was a parlay, a futures parlay. Because listen, when you get a free bet on BetMGM, you got to take a swing. So I took a couple of swings. One of the swings, Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, Bama to win the playoff. 98-1.
98-1.
98-1. Oh, wait. Yeah. 10 to win, 980. Yeah. 98-1.
That's
pretty
good.
No, 980-1. I'm sorry. My math is off. 980-1. Because Bama was like 14 or 15-1.
Okay.
And the
yeah.
Chiefs were like 7-1. Yeah, I'm sorry. My math is off. I apologize.
Oh, good.
980-1, a $10 free bet to win $980.
Make it legendary, Jared. I mean, from our friends at the King Sportsbook, right? I mean, get that two-team parlayer in there, Chiefs and Bama. I've thought about betting Bama Ravens because my teams could do it. I can't get there with the Ravens, man. Not as long as Harbaugh's the coach. I've made that spiel enough times this summer.
No, yeah, sorry.
Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. He proves me wrong. Hopefully they run the ball in January, but until I see it, can't back them. NBC Sports Now Power Hour coming up next. PJ Glasser, Jared Smith, we're getting you ready for Week 1 college football.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.